We wrap up this Radio EcoShock show with another voice the mainstream media misses. Another eco-activist youth headed for this year's power shift in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, October 18th to 21st. Get the details at wearepowershift.org.
We all know the game from childhood. Rock beat scissor, scissor beat paper, paper beat rock beat scissor, etc., etc. What you don't understand is that the 1% of this planet uses the paper game to control all things generation, generation, generation. I invite you global people to come together like rock, five finger form fist, and destroy this absolute tyranny. Don't drill into Mother Earth. Don't create this chaos. Rock go strike Goliath dead. Pull back the sling. In.
Rock Beats Paper featuring Kevin Mambo, released September 25th on BlackSwanSounds.com. We find Brian Menifee, already a leader in Washington, D.C., as a Howard University senior. Brian, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for having me.
When you talk about the environment, you always seem to talk about justice, too. Why is that?
Well, I think about when you want to talk about the environment, you have to talk about justice, because when you talk about different things that are, I guess you could say, going wrong with the environment, it's an issue about justice. You know, when you talk about oil refinement or getting raw materials from the earth, most of the places that they do it in are in places where the people do not have the political power to stop these things from happening. When you look at the tar sands on the indigenous peoples reservation, when you talk about communities located in the Gulf Coast region where the pipeline is actually supposed to end at, a lot of these communities where it's happening in don't have the political power to prevent these kind of environmental disasters from happening. So yeah, that's why I think when you're thinking about the environment, you always have to think about justice, because when you think about justice, then you can start kind of connecting the dots with other issues that aren't really kind of talked about, you know, such as police brutality, you know, income, the disparity of income and the wealth gap, because I think all those things are connected when you're talking about the degradation of our environment.
Well, I think there's two big parts to that, and one you've raised, which is we want people to have a vote about climate change, but a lot of African Americans don't have the vote, and we know white people commit the majority of crimes, yet people of color are more than half of the prison population. When they come out, they can't vote. So that disenfranchises people from their own country, I feel. What's your feeling on it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And of course, with that, I mean, you can clearly see that implementation of, you know, if you have a felony, then you cannot vote. Just another way and tactic to get people who don't have anything to have even less, you know what I'm saying? To make as a people, to see them as criminals and as people that should not be able to participate in society. And then, like you said, I mean, it disproportionately affects black people and people of color. And I mean, I definitely think that that's just, you know, another way, because I mean, we can all see that the prison system is a way for people to make money off of us. Yeah. I mean, it's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and you raised the other point I was thinking of, which is we had a guest on Radio EcoShock who explained the reality in Harlem, and she said if you need a place to put a dirty truck terminal or a waste disposal company or even a coal-fired power plant, you just dump it in the African-American community. And have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There in Washington, D.C., there's a community in the northeast part of Washington, D.C. It's a predominantly black community called River Terrace. And basically, they're going to put a bus depot in this River Terrace community. It was going to be like some mega buses, you know, buses that like basically go up and down the East Coast. There's going to be a bus depot there. So it's going to be 24-hour buses going in and out. Not to mention the kind of, you know, the CO2 emissions from the buses, but the noise aspect of having a bus depot in that community. But the community fought back, and the bus depot didn't end up being built in that community. But yeah, I mean, it happens all of the time. I mean, if you want a bus depot, if you want to, you know, find somewhere to put an incinerator, it's usually going to be put in the people of color community or somewhere out in the outskirts. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Well, you know, most of the developed countries are getting so that 1% of the very rich people and 99% just get poorer by the day. That was the theme of the Occupy movement. What did you think of that, Occupy?
I guess we all have, I guess, some ups and downs about the Occupy movement. I think the Occupy movement sparked a lot of people to see that there's another way to do things. And I think a lot of people were affected, not only by just like seeing how people were coming together and standing up, but also like, you know, when people visited these kind of autonomous communities all throughout the United States, they saw how people were having meetings, how people were like holding different things, like showing that there's another way to live than the way that we're kind of like portrayed or that we're taught to in school. I mean, I think the Occupy movement, there was some good things about it. I think for the most part, it was a lot of people that, I guess, a lot of privileged people that weren't used to, I guess, things that people of color and people without privilege are used to. So, you know, in this time, you know, since the disparity of wealth, now people are saying, oh, there's no more jobs, or oh, I can't get hired at this place, or oh, I went to college and spent all this money on the education, but I still can't get a job. And it's like, well, now you're in our shoes. This is like how it's been for us for decades, you know, since we've come to this country. So I think for a lot of people, it's a realization to like, but a lot of people in this country and around the world feel on a day-to-day basis. But I think it was a movement, and I think we got to like move forward.
All right. Now let's talk about Power Shift. Do you see that as a movement? And if so, what is Power Shift doing?
I think Power Shift can be a movement. I think what its goals are, what its aims, especially this Power Shift, trying to reach out to frontline communities, people of color. They're trying to reach out to historically black colleges and universities to kind of come and contribute. I think that's a step forward in a process to bring a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds together in one place and kind of just talk about the things that we're facing and how we can come together to kind of change the system that we're in. So I definitely think that Power Shift and more things like Power Shift need to happen to bring a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds come together to talk about things, but also network and exchange information so that we can build this kind of network of people that are trying to change the system that we live in today.
Well, we just heard on Radio Ecoshock from a person who thought Washington was just getting too hot for too long to live outside of anything that's air-conditioned. Do the students realize climate change is happening, and what's going on at Howard University?
I think for a lot of students, I mean, climate change is definitely real. Maybe not to the point of being able to articulate it, but I think of a lot of people understand, especially people at Howard University that have come from the Gulf Coast who were there for Katrina, who were there for a lot of the hurricanes that have hit the Gulf Coast over the last few years. You know, communities who are coming from the South in general, from Florida, you know, because I know they get hit with hurricanes pretty often. I think they understand the reality of like what happens when Mother Earth is not is not doing well. And then I think coming together at Howard University and having that kind of experience, being exposed to a lot of different things and a lot of teachers and a lot of books that you're not really given a chance to read in like a public educational system, or in my opinion, any kind of like other educational system that doesn't put forward a lot of different kind of like writers and artists other than kind of like white males. You know what I'm saying? So I think when you get people together like that, I think people are more aware and more conscious about what's happening to the environment. And it's definitely on people's minds about how, you know, they can see how the climate is changing, not only in Washington, D.C., but they're kind of seeing, like, different things happen, these floods and these fires happening. And I think with, like, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and, like, kind of all of these social media that, like, kind of, like, when anything happens, it's like, basically right there in their fingertips. So I really do think that people, especially at Howard University, are more aware to what's going on, and it's starting to like kind of like, oh yeah, you know, these things are connected. You know what I'm saying? Just my opinion from being around in the student body, it's definitely a connection being made about we need to be more aware about the climate, and we need to do something about it, and not just, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, maybe the next generation will do something.
Yeah, well, you talk about storms. A lot of people don't realize D.C. almost got nailed by Hurricane Sandy. It just happened to go a little further up the coast before it turned inland. And what happened in New England could have flooded Washington, the Potomac, Chesapeake Bay. It's just a matter of time before these violent storms hit. But it's so hard to tell people that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's another thing, too, is that all across the United States, the infrastructure system is horrible. Like when you talk about the levees in New Orleans, or when you talk about, you know, even in Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. still basically like the sewer system and the drains on the street drain right into the Chesapeake Bay. Like anytime there's a big like flash flood or anything like that, the wastewater treatment facilities can't hold the water that's coming into it. So they basically just like let everything flow into the river. I mean, and you can understand of like how raw sewage can affect the ecosystem just on that like kind of micro scale level. So yeah, like if a storm like Sandy could come through, I mean, it could really damage not only the infrastructure, but the ecosystem in general.
Well, you know, I was talking with someone about this whole thing of the heating up and the drying out of the South, and he was of the opinion, he was an African-American cook, as a matter of fact, that we had on the program. He was of the opinion that really African-Americans were going to be able to adapt better than all the white people were. What's your thoughts on that?
I could understand that for a degree, because I think as African Americans, we've been able to kind of deal with kind of like harsh realities. I'm not saying that all African Americans have the same experience, because that's not true. But I definitely think that people who grow up without as much privilege are able to cope and deal with kind of a changing environment more than people who have like kind of gone up with privilege and gone up with a sense of entitlement that, you know, think things are going to be this certain way. And when they don't end up being that certain way, they kind of just like freak out and like, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, just kind of like taking their hands off the steering wheel and just letting whatever happens, instead of like taking control of the situation, figuring out, okay, you know, this is going to happen. We need to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I do think I know where he's coming from when he says that.
Well, all right. So why are you going to this Power Shift meetup in Pittsburgh?
Well, personally, I want to go to this Power Shift because I think it'll be a good way to network with people with like-minded people who have basically the same goal, you know, the same goal to try to change the system that we're in right now, the same goal to kind of like change the surroundings that we are, because we feel like that there is a different way of living, there's a different way of interacting with people than what we're doing right now. So for me, it's, you know, it's connecting, you know, Black students, it's connecting basically everybody that's coming to Power Shift together and creating a network, a solid network of people that are trying to uplift and change things. Because I think although we need to uplift and put forth the frontline communities and, you know, let that struggle be known, it's going to take everybody coming together to kind of like facilitate a new change of this system.
And have you got some plans on or thoughts what you're going to do after you graduate?
Actually, I have no idea. I'm studying mechanical engineering, and so I'll be graduating in December. But I actually have no ideas. I've been doing kind of like research and like have more aligned my studies with like energy and kind of water purification, specifically water access in Palestine. But yeah, I'm not really sure where I'm not going to go.
Well, water access in Palestine, you know something, take it from me, Brian. Once you become a troublemaker at a young age, it never leaves you. You just can't accept that bad things are going on. You're always looking for justice. Are you really ready for that?
I think so.
It's been great talking with you. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. We've been talking with Brian Menifee from Washington, D.C. Join us next week for more Radio EcoShock in our first broadcast from the mountains. All our music this week is from the new album Rock Beats Paper by Earthrise Sound System from Black Swan Sounds. Get the links you need from my show blog at ecoshock.info. If you know a station that should be carrying Radio EcoShock, please write me. The address is radio@ecoshock.org. Download all our past programs as free MP3s at our website, ecoshock.org. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for your support, and a special thanks for caring about your world.